some divine basics. And that is some basic fundamental things about God as He relates to man that must be kept in mind. When we talk about basic, we are talking about things which form the base, things which must come first. They are the fundamentals. They are the essence of things. Knowing the alphabet, if you speak English, knowing the alphabet is basic. It is fundamental. If you are going to be able to communicate, to know anything about the language, any language for that reason, you have to know the letters that make up the words in that language. It's what we call the alphabet. So that is basic. It's no need you arise and say, well, I want to speak Spanish or Italian or whatever, English, and you want to push one side the alphabet, telling yourself, that's not so important. No, you have to start there. And if you don't start there, you're going to give yourself impossible task in using any language that you want to use. Well, when you talk about some divine basics, we want to look on not all of the basics, but some things that must be kept in mind as we strive to relate to the Almighty God successfully. First, there is much ignorance about the Almighty God out there. There is a lot of ignorance. I mean, my God, there is so much ignorance about God. Not only that, I extend that. There are a lot of ignorance in respect to how God planned to save man. Lot of ignorance out there. There is ignorance in respect to the kind of God that God is. Even for so many of us Christians, it never dawned on us to probably take time off to understand God better, to know Him with whom we have to do. There is ignorance in respect to God's plan of salvation. That is, does God have a fixed, defined plan by which He's going to save men and women today? In Wednesday night class, we're telling you about the meeting that Brother O'Neill and myself had with probably the head of the group. You remember their name, Brother Wilson? International Mission something. That we had some 2.5 discussion, and among the things I detect is that this gentleman who head that movement, with probably thousands or millions of followers, doesn't realize that God has a plan of salvation. And many men and women, that's why people believe, no, you can be saved that way in your church, and I saved this way in my church. Because people don't understand that you cannot be saved like that. Every one of us going to be saved the same way. The Bible talks about walking by the same rule. The Bible speaks about speaking the same thing. Things like that. The basic in relating to God through His plan of salvation, many men and women don't realize that God has one single plan of salvation for every man, and that the business of you being saved your way and I being saved my way, you're saved this way in your church and I saved this way in my church, that is completely contrary to the very nature of God. God is a God of order. How will men and women be saved? For example, in fact, most of the lesson this morning will be addressing, is it a fact that God, in fact, made some men and women to go hell, but then He made some other people to go heaven? And those whom He has made to go hell, it no matter what they do, they're not going to end up in hell. And those He has made to go heaven, no matter what they do, they're going to end up in heaven. Is that a fact? Because people say that quite often, that some people are predestined. God prefixed it that they must go hell. And then some others are predestined to be saved. Is that a fact? Will the Almighty God send the ungodly to a lake of fire? All these are areas of lack of ignorance. And we need some clarity. In today's lesson, we examine one of the fundamental, important basics about God and God's attitude and disposition towards man and man's eternal salvation. As I've said, it is one of the basic things, one of the fundamental things. And this is where we want to spend our time today examining. Not only are there lack of lies and falsehood about God, there are also lots of ignorance in the religious world. Listen, the passage of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 18, on the point that not only are we acknowledging that there are lots of ignorance about God, but that there are lots of ignorance about religion in general. Read Ephesians 4, 17 through 18.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind.
The vanity of their mind. In this passage, hold it, brother. What we are going to see here is that ignorance is not as innocent as it looks. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? When you or I, when any of us is ignorant, especially in respect to particulars of God's will, it's not a case where, well, what's the big thing? Ignorance is dangerous. We know, of course, it's dangerous in other areas. Huh? Rain is falling. Thank God for the rain. But I beg you, if you have to shelter from the rain, avoid standing under a green tree. You see, we do it innocently, not realizing that the tree attracts the electricity, that lightning. When electricity flashes, the electricity finds the tree, the closest contact between it coming from the cloud and the earth where it wants to go. And if you are under that tree, you will be killed. Why many people have been so killed? Because of ignorance. And that's not innocent. How we eat is another area. And ignorance. So ignorance is not, well, what's the big thing? You know and I don't know. There are some things that's important that we know it. And especially as it relates to pleasing God. The passage of Ephesians chapter 4, the brother is reading from verse 17 to verse 18. Let us hear it.
This I say therefore and testify in the Lord. That he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk.
That henceforth mean as of now, you do not conduct your life like other Gentiles.
In the vanity
while from the racial, national point of view, you are Gentile, that is, nation other than the Israelite. Now, that, of course, doesn't count when you are in Jesus Christ. Read on.
Having the understanding darkened.
He's talking about the Gentile. And notice here, the apostle, the Holy Spirit speaking through the apostle, is saying to them, and by extension to us, that when you become a Christian, you must no more so live like the people whose understanding is what?
Darkened.
Whose understanding is what?
Darkened.
Darkened. That means they can't see clearly. That's right. Read.
Being alienated from
now,
the life of God.
Notice what ignorance does. Being
alienated from the life of God.
Time we can be separated from the life of God. What does it mean, Brother Mitchell, life of God? That is the holy, the godly, the Christian life. Fellowshipping with God. The Bible saying there can be a distance where God is way over here, and you, the sinner, is way over here, alienated. You know, there is a distance. What alienates us?
Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance.
Through what?
The ignorance.
That is in?
That is in them.
You hear, brothers? Ignorance is not as innocent as it looks. And when you or I come to church and we just sit and we go through the motion, but we don't have any takeaway from what is discussed, what is taught, then you are doing hurt to yourself. That's right. Ignorance is not as innocent as it looks. Truly.
Because of the blindness of their heart.
That's it. You see, brother, is when we are ignorant, our mind, the Bible's heart, as I pointed out, the discussion with this heading, Brother O'Neill asks, nice Chinese man, head of a group. Is it a church or a movement? For a good while there, I think Brother Wilson asked him the question two or three times. For a good while there, he didn't know what to say, whether it was a movement or a church. I think finally he said it's a movement. But there are so much about the will of God that he didn't know. Here the Bible tells us that the mind, the heart, is darkened. And remember, as came up in that discussion, I pointed out to him, he keeps pointing out to here. Throughout the 2.5 hours of discussion, the heart. And I had to say to him, I said, look here, the Bible's heart is not this which pumps the blood. The Bible's heart is the intellect. We must remember that. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about biology. It's not, you see, it's talking about the intellect, the mind that we use to think. And the Bible says our heart, our thinking can be darkened because of ignorance in respect to the will of God. It is totally false and against the word of God, for God to have made some men to go to hell irrespective of how they live and conduct their lives, and some men to go to heaven irrespective of how they live and conduct their lives. That is false. The Almighty God has not fixed it that some men and women must go to hell and some must go to heaven. God, Word, teaches the very opposite. That it is the choice that men and women make that's going to determine whether we end up in hell or heaven. The choice we make. Not that the Almighty God fixed it. Know this. What God has fixed is that God, in his love, grace, mercy, care, God wants and desires all men and women to be saved. You know, the VBS was on God's kind, positive, merciful, loving, sweet disposition towards his children. That's the VBS that you gave us may prosper, and that girls that you also will not only prosper, that is, with the material, economical undertaking you undertake, but that also you will be in good health. And that those two areas will match the spiritual area that you have already prospered in. And among the things that came out in VBS is that God has interest in the total person. The Almighty God is not just simply interested in getting us to heaven. No, that's God's goal. That's why Christ went to Calvary. God has interest in how we live here and now. And He wants us to have the things we need to eat, things we need to wear, the place we have to shelter. God wants us to have that. One passage tells us that He has given us stingily. What? Richly? I think you are right, you know. I think we are right. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. There's another passage there where the Almighty God encouraged the Christian. Let him that stole, that is, before you become a Christian, you use the thief. So it says, let him that stole, that's past tense, steal no more. But watch here, the rest of the verse. But rather, working with his own hands, so that you will have both for yourself and have where you can help others. That's God's wish. God has positive wish for his people. God wants all men and women to be saved from sin and eternal punishment. All men, not the some. The Almighty God never did fix it. It's against God's nature and God's word and God's will and God's purpose to fix it that some people were made for the fuel of the fire of hell and some was made for heaven. Falsehood against God. Let us go to the Old Testament first. In the passage of Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Let us go there first. Let us hear that passage. Let us hear it.
Say unto them.
Say unto them.
As I live, saith the Lord God.
God says, as I live.
I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Wait. Now, the wicked men and women, if they continue in their wickedness, they are on their way to hell. Wait. Wickedness is not just people who commit murder and rape and thief and name it. No. When your relationship with the Almighty God is wrong, God considers you wicked. Put it another way, Mr. Mitchell. If you are not in a right relationship with God, you are wicked. What God said must say to the wicked?
Turn ye.
Turn you.
Turn ye from your
first,
evil ways.
Don't forget what has just been read. I have no pleasure
in the death of the wicked.
Everybody get that? You see, it's important that we get that. Because even for me, I have always thought for a long time that if God would rejoice over the death of anybody, it would be the wicked. And if God is sorry about the death of anyone, it would be the righteous. You see, that's the way I thought, but that's human thinking. My thinking was the man and the woman who served God faithfully, God would want them to stay around longer to serve Him. And the men and women who offend God by their sins and offense and disobedience, God, when they die, God would clap His hand and say, well, that one won't hurt me anymore. But you see, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to life than this life. So watch here. God says, I do not take pleasure
in the death of the wicked.
In the death of the wicked. Wait, God. You're sure you're right? Yes, God is right. And I love why God is right about that. You see, for God is not just thinking of this life. But the Almighty God knows much more than we do that there's a life beyond this life. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked person. But
that the wicked turn.
But that the wicked turn what we call repentance.
His way and live.
Turn from his way and live. Wait, it means the wicked man must make a decision to live right. Yes, that's right. So this is telling us that God will fix it. That the wicked man, even wicked, must end up in it. If the wicked man turn, God says he will live.
Turn ye.
Turn you.
Turn ye from your evil ways.
Turn from your evil ways.
For why will ye die?
Why will you die? God wants to give you life. But God, remember, it's a wicked man that. Why you not just leave him knowing that his wickedness will take him ultimately to that place? God no want him to go to that place. You see? God doesn't want anybody to go to that place called hell. So this is why God is appealing to this hypothetical wicked man. But in reality, to every one of us who failed to do God's will and to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Look at that. That was one passage. Anything more in that verse?
That's verse 11.
Okay. Step now to 1 Timothy, brother. Chapter 2 and verse 3 to verse 6. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 6. And the same point that God never, contrary to the ignorance and the falsehood and the lies that Satan put in men's heart, that God fix it, that some people must end up in hell, and there are other people, God fix it and make them that they must end up in heaven. So it doesn't matter how rotten their life is here, or ungodly their life, they're ultimately going to come around. Let us hear the passage.
For this is good.
This is good.
And acceptable in the sight of God.
And it is acceptable in God's sight.
Who will have all men to be saved?
That is not dear brother.
Who will have all men to be saved?
You're sure you're reading that right?
For this is good and acceptable.
Wait! I was watching TV and the people were talking about a certain leader in the world, top world leader. And they were wondering if the person can read. And I agree with them to wonder that. Well, I'm wondering if Brother Webb can read. Because, you see, brother, popular out there is the fact that God fixed it, that some must go to hell and some must go to heaven. And you have just read something there what it says?
Who will have all men to be saved?
The Almighty God would. Who would have all men to be saved? Meaning, he wants all men to be saved. That's what it means when you say, God would have, if it's left up primarily to God, he would have all men to be saved.
And to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Isn't that wonderful? Huh? But you notice too here, that for men and women to be saved, they will have to replace their ignorance with knowledge. Huh? You have to come to the knowledge of the truth. But God, this passage is telling us, God wants all men, not some. All men to be saved. When you hear people talking, The ignorance that the devil put in their head, God fix it, that some people must end up in hell and some must end up in heaven. Foolishness. Read on.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God.
One God.
And one mediator.
And one mediator between God and man.
That man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all.
You notice again the all? Jesus Christ didn't die just for the Christian. The Christians accepted God's offer of grace. That's why we are saved, because we accept it. But Jesus Christ died for the ungodly men and women out there and in here. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sin. Because he loves you, cares for you, and wants you to be saved. What do you say about died for some, brother?
Who gave himself a ransom for all.
He gave himself a ransom
for all.
For all.
To be testified in due time. Whereunto I am an ordained preacher and an apostle.
That's why we preach. To preach the truth that has just been expressed there.
I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not.
I lie not. Christ died not for some, but for all. Oh God, make some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. Foolishness. Let us hear 2 Peter. You have reached verse 6. Well, it's okay, brother. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 through 9.
Whereby the world that then was.
The world that then was.
Being overflowed with water.
This is talking about the antediluvian world, the world of Noah's time. The world that then was. What did God do with it? It was overflowed with what?
With water.
With water.
Perished.
In other words, brothers and sisters, when men chose to reject, remember, chose, it's a choice. You and I are making choice for God or against God every day. When they chose to reject God's grace and mercy, God used the flood to destroy them. Read.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now.
You notice how it make a distinction, the world that then was and the now. The heavens and the earth that are now.
By the same word.
It was by the same creator, the same word of God.
Are kept in store.
It is kept in store.
Reserved unto fire.
The world that is now in existence, the world that you and I now live in, it is destined for what?
Unto fire.
Fire. Are we all there? Fire. The present world. I'm tempted to turn to, but don't worry, turn there, 2 Thessalonians. The last chapter, verse 9, unto you that are troubled, rest with us. When Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Flaming, it's kept in store, brother.
Against the day of judgment.
Against the day of judgment.
And perdition.
Wait. A day of judgment is coming.
Yeah.
Wait. Yes, judgment is now going on. That's a fact. You and I are being judged every minute. But the final judgment in respect to God telling us why we are going to end up in the eternal hell or the eternal heaven. That day is yet to come. But brothers and sisters, that your great-grandfather heard about hell and judgment, that my great-grandfather heard about it, that my father heard about it, and it hasn't yet come, doesn't mean it's not coming. Judgment is coming. The final judgment. Read, brother.
Against the day of judgment and
perdition
of ungodly
of ungodly men.
But
beloved,
be not ignorant of this one thing.
You see, Brother Webb, again, brothers and sisters, you notice God wants us to be enlightened people. Over and over you find the statement in the Bible, in the New Testament, not just by Paul, of course, this is being said by Peter. In effect, I don't want you to be ignorant. Put another way, I want you to know this. It's important that you know this. There are a lot of religious, spiritual things that it is important for us to know, many of which we take for granted. Christians are not putting out as much effort as they ought to learn the will of God. Men and women come to church weekly, and they remain as ignorant as ever. Didn't I preach the sermon over faith, but undernourished? Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to put out more effort to understand the will of God. When we do that, when we understand God's will better, God can put us to productive use. That's why you have many men and women in the church, and they cannot point to anybody that they have led to Jesus Christ in the past umpteen years. That's not good. Where were you in 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 6?
Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing.
Be not ignorant of this one thing.
That one day is with the Lord as a thousand years.
And a thousand years as a day. That is simple saying. The Almighty God does not live in time. That's what that verse is saying. God does not live in time. God does not live in before and after. God exists in one eternal present. Time does not unfold for God. There is no yesterday for God. But Brother Mitchell, the Bible talk about yesterday. Yes, because God deals with man. Time unfolds for us, but not for God. Everything is before God's eye. What happened 1 million years ago is before God's eye as present. What will happen 10,000 years from now is before God's eye. That's what that is saying. 1,000 years is
as one day.
One day, and one day as 1,000 years. Read on, brother.
The Lord is not slack.
The Lord is not slack
concerning his promise.
Whatever God says, don't ever treat it like man's word. I swear, but I'm just mustering. Just want to impress you. And I make promise, but I'm just trying to fool you, mislead you. I'm not going to fulfill those. The Bible is saying God is not like that. Whatever God says, it's going to come true. Read, is not slack concerning his promise, as some men call slackness,
but is long-suffering to us ward.
Thank God, Brother Webb, he is long-suffering to us ward.
Amen.
Thank God he's patient with us, towards us. And you know why? Listen this now. The brother has just read that God is not slack concerning his promise. God does not just talk. What he says is meaningful. Read.
But is long suffering to us ward.
Yes, he suffers with us.
not willing.
And wait, suffer with us. You know, I know I told you about this, but when I read passage like this, I remember many years ago, Brother Walker and myself were right along the place there, Devon House, either in his car or my car, and something happened at the stop. You know, in fact, it's just this week I realized that it seems the authority removed these, some of these guys who would almost force you to have your windscreen washed. And if you don't allow them to wash it, they'll tell you off. You see, just this week. But something happened that after Brother Walker and myself drive off, something happened to peeve both of us. And Brother Walker said, Mitchie, you ever think about it? If God was like man, none of us would be here. Because we'll just wipe out everybody. That's true. You see, but God is not like us. He suffers long with us. Read on.
Not willing.
Wait, brother, wait. That is telling you why he suffers long with us. Not willing, which means he doesn't want
that any
should perish. But brother Webb, I've been told that God makes some to perish in hell. But here the Bible tells us that God is not willing, meaning he does not want any to perish.
But that all.
But he wants some.
That all.
He wants most.
All.
He wants few.
But that all.
Should come to repentance. Everybody gets it? God wants everybody to be saved. And the fool and ignorant people out there telling, no, God makes some to go to hell and makes some to go to heaven. You need to write down this passage that in the nicest way you know how you can say, Mr. John or Miss Jane, no, you are incorrect there. You are misrepresenting God. You are telling a falsehood against God. God wants all men and women to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? Run to another passage on the same point. Mark. It has 16 chapters, so go to the end of that chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16. Let us hear it.
And he said unto them,
Jesus Christ said unto them,
go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Wait. Here again. Preach the good news. The good news is about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The good news has to do with the sacrifice and the price that Jesus Christ paid for your sin and my sin. That is the good news. Jesus Christ commissioned his apostle here to go and preach it or teach it. Read on. To whom was it to be preached?
Going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
The word every dear, while every in grammar, it is singular, but it really means all. That's right. Everyone, which means exclude none. That's right. Read.
He that believeth.
Anyone, the he there means anyone who believes. Remember, I told you that it is a choice. The he there means anyone who believes and get baptized
shall be saved. But he that believeth not.
The he there again means anyone who does not believe, to the extent that that person will obey, what will happen?
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
The he there in the verse means anyone. But brothers and sisters, not only does God want or wish all men and women to be saved from eternal hell and eternal punishment. The Almighty God in Jesus Christ has made provision for the forgiveness and salvation of every man and every woman. Wait. You see, there are two things. God, one, wants all to be saved. Okay. You see, that's what God wants. But a person can come and say, well, okay, God wants that, but we are still in our problem. No. Two, God has made provision for forgiveness for every man. So it's not only that God wants all men to be saved. The Almighty God, you see, wait. That desire of God, that wanting to of God, is within God, inside of God. But God now comes outside of himself and has made provision in Jesus Christ for our forgiveness, our cleansing, our salvation, our relationship with him. Are we all there? Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Let us hear it.
Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation.
It's comparing now Christ and Adam. As by the offense of one, that is Adam,
came upon all men to condemnation.
Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Meaning, because of what Adam did, and because we have followed in the footsteps of Adam, the Almighty God judged us and found us guilty, and we stand condemned. That's what the passage is saying, you know. That's exactly what it is saying. In other words, we did what Adam did. Go against the will of God. Read on.
Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
The free gift came, Brother Webb, upon some men.
All men. Unto
Wait, the free gift there is referring to what Jesus Christ has done for our salvation, our eternal peace. It was not just for some. It's for all. Jesus Christ died for all. Remember, I pointed out that the Christian is a man or a woman who has accepted. Sometimes we use the word appropriated, utilize, lay hold on that which Jesus Christ has done for us. The unbeliever, and if you are here today, you remain in your sin because you have not taken step to accept what Christ did for you at Calvary. Read on, brother.
Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
What verse is that?
That's the end of 18.
Read on.
For as by one man...
Wait. Read that little part again.
Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men.
The free gift of God's grace came upon all men.
Unto justification of life.
And that free gift is towards the ultimate goal of making you righteous. But Brother Mitchell, it used justification. Remember, the word justification and the word righteous come from the same Greek word. When God considers you just, when God justifies you, it means God make you righteous through Christ's blood.
That's right.
But you have to obey Him. You see, that promised gift of God is open to you, to every man, but it has to be accepted. Read.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
You see, it used many here because it is referring to those who responded in obedience to God's gift. What verse is that?
19.
Read.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded...
Wait. Christian and visitors, it's important that you don't let this old English expression throw you off. Read verse 19 or wherever you are now again, brother.
Moreover,
the law entered. That is the Ten Commandment law. Get this. The Old Testament system. May I? One of the purpose that system served, and this passage is telling, is to make men and women realize that sin is sin. Explain it better. To make men and women understand, as human beings, morally responsible to God, we cannot just live any and any way and be okay in God's sight. When the Ten Commandments was given, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, is to make men become aware of sin. The law entered
that the offense might abound.
Brother Mitchell, explain it again now. You and I have my lot of land here. You have your lot of land there. I have some nice coconut tree and mango tree over my lot. And you didn't have any over your lot. Whoever you buy it from, they didn't plant those things. There is no fence. There is no wall. When you see the coconut tree, you just come over and pick. In fact, there are occasions when you don't even leave any for me. You know what has to be done to bring you to your senses? I have to decide to put up a fence, a boundary. So now, every time you come and you have to climb that wall is telling you, you are trespassing. That's what the law did. The law let the Israelites know. And God wants men to know that there is such a thing as trespassing against the nature of God. That's one of the purposes of the law. To let men and women know you can't just live so. God didn't make you to live so. So the law entered that sin might what?
Abound.
Wait. It doesn't mean that the law make more sin, because that's what the word abound means, you know. Grow, multiply. It doesn't mean that the law, the Ten Commandment law and all of what comes with it, make more sin. What it means, it just brings sin up before the eyes of those who are under it. But watch here now. I like what is coming.
But where sin abounded.
Wait, brother Webb, I like that but. Oh my God. Just like the radio program, many times, brother Webb, when we come upon some nice thing and ready to preach, Dave tell us that time off. that's right. Almost every time we come upon some good sermon and ready to get started, Dave assures the time off. And time, my time is going, but we come upon some good sin. Read that again, brother.
But where sin abounded,
where sin grows,
grace did much more abound.
I love that. Huh? Wait, you know what that is saying? That is saying to you and me, to the world, that sin will never become so plentiful that the grace of God cannot deal with it. Put another way, the passage of brothers just read is telling us that there will never be so much sin that grace of God in Christ cannot address it. Brother Mitchell, say it another way. You're just telling us that God in Jesus Christ, when Christ died at Calvary, the Almighty God set up an account of grace, an account for forgiveness, an account to deal with our sin. And that account can never be exhausted by sin. A person could fret. And Brother Mitchell, suppose by the time I become Christian, all of God's grace in Jesus Christ is used up. That will never happen. No, sir. That cannot happen. No, sir. What a blessing. Yeah. What a power in the blood of Christ. Read it again, brother, please.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound.
The offense means that sin may, not that it's going to multiply sin, but open your eyes to sin. The many ways you sin. Read.
But where sin abounded,
where you have plenty, no sin,
grace did much more abound.
I like that much more. Oh my God. Where Satan make much sin, Jesus Christ make much grace. And I like that much grace. Talk foolishness about God made some to be lost and some to be saved. No, ladies and gentlemen, not only as the Almighty God does He want all men and women to be saved, the Almighty God has made provision in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all men. Whatever sin has brought, grace brings more. Thanks be to God. And I tell you that to get. No, I want to move on to the other point, but I have to let this stay. Truly. There are two more points, but I'll have to deal with these another time. Not only does God want all men to be saved, not only does He make provision in Jesus Christ, are we all there, for forgiveness and salvation, but God, through Jesus Christ, is not going to deal with it, but let me write it down. God, through Jesus Christ, is calling all men and women. You see, He wants all to be saved. One, He has made provision for all to be saved, not some. And He's calling all, not some. But we're going to stop here. We may pick up on that on the final two points. Next week or some other time, if God is willing. Today, if you are here and if you are not a child of God, we are here telling you that God wants you to be saved and that you can be saved today, right now. If you are a child of God who has strayed, backslidden, grown weak, there is no better time than now which God has given you to make a recommitment to Jesus Christ. He has made provision for your forgiveness, for your fellowship with Him, for your eternal peace. And today you can become a Christian because God has given you today. We are going to stand and sing. While we sing that song to the glory and honor of God, of Christ's name, it is also a good chance for you to step forward and respond to the love, the mercy, and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Be that you are an unbeliever who believes there is a God, believe that Jesus Christ died for you, but you have never taken step, you have never submit yourself to the will of Christ for your forgiveness. Do it now, no? Christ wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you or any man or woman to be lost. And if you're a child of God who have been in and out, today you are faithful, tomorrow you are unfaithful, make a serious recommitment to Jesus Christ as we stand and sing. 583.